Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you. I know we come on the air today, with a lot of thoughts and feelings about what took place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania over the weekend. 11 people killed at a Jewish synagogue, the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. I mean, that story just was sickening as far as my heart was concerned, just hearing about that. And then when they gave some information about the one who fired the shots, who killed those 11, and just some of the hatred that had filled a lot of the social media posts that he had made over the years, it's just a sickening feeling. And you think, boy, when our places of worship are no longer safe, this world has become a very, very, very scary place. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's scratching their head saying, what do we do? How do we change this? How do we make it different? And I think we're all at a loss of that. I mean, we can't write laws that are going to change the human heart. And that really is the problem. That is the issue, the human heart. Something took root in this man's heart, a hatred, an anti-Semitism that was there, that birthed into action, into horrific action. James talks about that in his letter, how sin happens in a person's heart, but that's where it begins.
Yeah.
And so Jeremiah wrote about that in his prophecy, Jeremiah 17:9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. It says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is, or who can understand it?" And we certainly can't. We can't figure out those deep urges in people. Paul said, "I don't understand myself." And he went into Romans 7, "The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do anyway." And that's the unregenerate heart. That is the heart apart from faith in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. It is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? It's desperately sick, desperately wicked. And I think in this event in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we see a little bit into the heart, what really drives a person to such horrific actions. And, that's why we proclaim Jesus. That's why we proclaim the good news, because it's the only message that deals with the human heart. It's the only message that produces change from the inside out, where at one point there's a hatred for a certain group of people, and then through that new birth, through that heart change that takes place, and Paul calls it a circumcision of the heart, hate is turned into love. That's the miracle. That is the miracle of new birth and the power of this gospel of Jesus Christ. But I think over the weekend, that's what we saw, a heart that was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And just from that heart hatched this plan. And it was carried out in such a horrific way. Just to admire the brave people of that synagogue and how they've come together, the tight-knit community. And, it's one of those things where you just say, what can we do? How can we help? How can we be arms that, wrap around you to bring you comfort at this particular time? That's what we can do as fellow human beings and truly as brothers and sisters in Christ. Richard, what were your thoughts when you saw the story? What were you thinking?
Well, immediately just shocked. You know, I think I was online and I was looking at something. I just went, oh, no.
Another one.
Yeah. And what hurts the most for me is that everybody initially jumps to conclusions, and then there's speculation on those conclusions that we've jumped to, and then there's speculation on the speculation, and pretty soon nobody's really talking about what happened. They're pointing fingers at each other, and that's just another issue here of what does it mean for the human heart to be so desperately sick and wicked. Is we never want to look into ourselves and say, what have I done to contribute to this? And it doesn't matter whether you're Republicans or Democrats, rich or poor, you know, educated, not educated, blue collar, white collar. Everybody tends to do this stuff. They always go, that person over there.
We play the blame game.
Absolutely.
We point fingers.
Yeah, and it is time to stop that. You can't pass a law, as you talked about. The love of Jesus Christ is the only answer, but absent the love of Jesus Christ, people can still be civil.
Yes, we can be civil one toward another. We can have integrity as people and some sense of virtue.
Yeah.
You know, our whole country, we wanted freedom. We wanted to break free from the tyranny of the British crown. And so there was a war. There was a war that happened, that took place. And so freedom was won. It was hard fought. Blood was shed. Mm-hmm. Lives were sacrificed. But in the end, we were a free people, a free country. And then our founding fathers wrote some incredible documents that ordered our freedom.
Yes.
So we have the U.S. Constitution. We have those Bill of Rights. We have those things in place to order our freedom. But to sustain it takes the virtue of the American citizens.
Yes.
Apart from the virtue of the citizenry, then this experiment is going to fail. And we need to do things as a country that is going to applaud virtue, applaud and cultivate virtue in the lives of people. We've seemed to lose that. We're putting personal preference over truth. We're putting personal preference over the big picture, the big thing that we're all a part of. And we need to get back to recognizing the fact that we just have a spot in something that's bigger than ourselves. Mm-hmm. And our ultimate fulfillment, our ultimate reward is going to be in serving that thing that's bigger than ourselves. For believers in Christ, that's the body of Christ. We're saved individually, but we're added to the body. And when we find our place in the body and fulfill the role that God has niched out for us within the body, then we're serving a greater purpose.
Yeah.
And there's great reward in that. So somehow we need to get back to cultivating virtue in the lives of citizens instead of saying whatever you want goes. That's going to lead to anarchy. That's going to lead to chaos and confusion. So we need to get back to that. And this is just one more of those tragic events that is yelling at us and just crying out, saying, pay attention. Pay attention. Get back to ground zero. Back to those values that are so vitally important and necessary for a nation to thrive and survive and to be a blessing to the world. So just, you know, the whole thing is just sickening to see the hatred, a hate crime like that happening in a place of worship to folks who were gathered in community to read from Scripture, to worship God in their unique way, and for lives to be taken at that moment. Just a tragic thing. If you would like to talk about it on today's broadcast. We certainly welcome your call right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We talked about Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, sick. Who can understand it? Well, God does.
Yes.
God understands the heart. Jesus talked about the heart time and time again. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It's the very things that proceed from his heart. The Sermon on the Mount is all about the unregenerate heart, mm-hmm. and why something greater than the law had to come into play to change the human heart. And that's the gospel message. And in that gospel message, when we receive it, something happens to that heart. As we said, Paul talks about a circumcision of the heart. And that's why this gospel is so vitally important right now.
Yes.
It's not something that we need to put off and deal with at a later time. The gospel is important right now, and we need to get this message out to as many people as possible. So thank you for indulging us. Let us share a little bit of our hearts, our thoughts, our perspective on this. And we are there in Pittsburgh in spirit, and it's just going to be amazing to see how many different people reach out. I know the rabbi of the synagogue there said his just text messages and Facebook and all of those things have just been flooded with notes of encouragement and love and support from Jewish people, from Christian people, from Muslim people, from just people in general.
Yeah.
And praise God for that. And we just pray that that would continue, and that we know Jesus is going to make his presence known and felt in a certain way there. And we'll just look forward to see how that works out.
Yeah.
But this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We're glad you have joined us as well. We have a wonderful resource this month, and it is called The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. And I think one of the tragic realities of our country today, the tragic realities of the church today, is that we've lost sight of the basics, those essential truths that bind us together as a body of believers. A recent survey indicated that 78% of evangelicals think Jesus was a created being. They think he's the greatest created being, but they still think he's the created being. Well, no, Jesus is the creator. He's God himself.
Yes.
And if we don't understand that, Christianity is going to start to crumble underneath us because our foundation isn't solid. We struggle with forgiveness of sins. We're not sure if God forgives us or he doesn't forgive us. Well, what does that tell us? We don't really understand exactly what took place at the cross. That when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, there's a basis for that. His blood that was shed, and without that shed blood, there is no forgiveness. So we need to understand that. We don't know why he was raised from the dead other than to put a stamp on the fact that he is both Lord and God. We look at it in an apologetic way and miss the practicality of it.
Yeah.
So it's a sad state of affairs when we don't understand the essential truths that define our faith, define what Christianity is, define what a relationship with God is all about through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we've put this resource together. We want to put it in your hands. It's something that will put the pieces of the gospel puzzle together for you, and it's a great tool to share with others. It's yours. Available through your gift to Basic Gospel this month. All the information on how you can give is available at our website, basicgospel.net. Just click on the Power of Eight icon, our banner there, and then just follow all the instructions.
Yeah.
Like I said, we would love to get that into your hands. It is a very valuable resource, and I know it will be meaningful in your life, and you can use it to help others as well.
Well, we got an email over the weekend, and actually it came through Facebook. This is a hard one. I had a baby 3 weeks ago. Absolutely no difficulties in my pregnancy and delivery. The midwife and we thought we had a strong baby boy. Just 10 hours later, the unimaginable happened. He crashed and was very ill, in critical condition. Just 3 days later, he passed away. The doctor still doesn't know what was wrong with him. I know the world is against us and God is for us. I just don't understand how God is for us in this situation.
Well, it is a very, very sad situation.
Yeah.
I watched this unfold on Facebook. These are some friends of the ministry from Canada, and just saw the pictures, the precious pictures of the baby when it was born, and such an excitement.
Yes.
Just on the Facebook comments and that sort of thing. And then, you know, just the next day or several days later, just that joy turned to tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very sad. And there's going to be lots and lots and lots of why questions. Why did this happen? What? And as you can see in this question, there's already, you know, this sense of doubt. God, I thought you were for us, and I can't see how you're for us in this. Mm-hmm. And we may not ever see how God is for us in that particular,
yeah, not in our
circumstance.
Anyway.
But how we see that God is for us is through Jesus, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And here in the midst of this tragic circumstance, you can lean and rely upon and depend upon the love of God. This isn't separating you from the love of Christ. And
right.
What you need to help go through this grieving process is that love of Jesus. You need that comfort of Jesus. And so I just encourage you to kind of let the why question kind of still be there and realize you may or may not get an answer to that. But there is the real issue that Jesus's love is still there for you, that Jesus's love will never depart from you. And Jesus's love is going to be the very power and comfort and hope that's going to move you through these very, very trying times. And also will encourage you, as husband and wife, to really cling to one another.
Yes.
You need each other during this time, to stick close to one another. You can play the blame game. You can, if this would have happened, if that would have happened. And, you know, statistics bear out that, you know, when couples lose a child like this, that it really affects the marriage in a negative way. So recognize you have the love of God that can comfort your own hearts, and that you have the power of God's love that can hold the two of you together through these trying times, through these days that are ahead. And then, of course, you will have family and the body of Christ that will gather around you. But a couple of things. You're going to have these questions. Doubt is going to come into your mind. That's okay. That's being human.
It's normal.
That is just being human. So God is merciful to those who doubt. And in that doubt, I think you're going to see the love of God start shining through. But keep your eyes focused toward Him, and then keep your eyes focused toward one another, knowing that you are glued together, that you are one flesh, and that together you can work through this.
Yeah.
That's the comfort that the Lord will give y'all individually and the two of you together as believers.
Yeah, I might add to that, don't isolate yourselves.
Yes.
Don't pull away. Be with your family, be with your friends.
Yeah. Very, very difficult situation. And I'm so glad that she posed this question today.
Yeah.
And we hope this can be a comfort to her as well.
Well, we got another question off of Facebook from our live broadcast. This is from Debbie. If you're a Christian, will you be judged when you die? I was told that as a Christian, we will only be judged on the things we do for Christ and not our sins. If this is true, and if so, what does 2 Corinthians 5:10 mean, which is the passage where it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ?
Yeah, that's what it says. You know, he's talking about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture.
There's a lot of entirety. It's powerful.
There's a lot of assurance, a lot of hope, a lot of comfort. In those words. And he goes on to say in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 5, so we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord, for we live by believing and not by seeing, by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's our great hope as believers in Christ. So what happens when you die as a believer? Well, there's the answer right there. You're absent from the body and at home with the Lord, mm-hmm. present with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. Well, how do we please him? We walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I always think about, I think it's the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. So he has Peter and John and James, I think, with him. Mm-hmm. And they go up on this mountain, and he's transfigured before their eyes. And Peter is trying to say something. He's just so amazed by this. We'll build some tents for all of you. Elijah and Moses are there on the scene. And then this voice kind of trumps it all. It just drowns out all the other activity. And it's this voice from God the Father saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So what pleases the Father, as far as we're concerned?
Yes.
Listening and trusting Jesus Christ the Son. That's what our life is all about, a life of faith in Jesus. It is by grace, through faith in Jesus, from start to finish. So that's how we please the Lord. And so when we come to faith in Christ, we're always in that pleasure of God the Father. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Now, we're not going to be judged for our sins as far as believers are concerned. That judgment went upon Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we can rest confidently in that. So we are only going to be judged in the sense you have eternal life. And then I think we will be able to wear the crown of righteousness, the crown of life. Mm-hmm. That's a part of the gospel. And so we'll see that. And I also think that we will see how the Lord used us in this life. Now, there may be things that we did in the flesh that just burns off.
Yeah,
poof, that's
gone.
That's gone. As far as the lost, they're going to be judged on the fact that they are dead spiritually. They rejected life. They're going to be able to bring their case before God, make a case, and they're going to see that,
they have nothing to offer.
They have nothing to offer. And so that's what the judgment is going to be about. But as far as Christians are concerned, when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord.
Yeah.
That's good news. That's our hope. And it's that very hope that shapes our life here and now.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for joining us on today's edition. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We certainly invite you to be with us at that same time tomorrow afternoon. Well, now for the entire Basic Gospel team, for Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Dallas, Texas. We'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.